Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Spinnerville.
What's up, y'all?
It's Jonathan Rollins.
And Skiff Musara.
And we're two Americans living in Sweden talking about rule changes.
That's right.
Yeah, man. A lot going down. Well, not a lot, but, you know, it's off season. Those of you that are Patreon subscribers, we have paused the pay, so you don't have to worry about that for the next couple months. However, we're still going to deliver episodes when we can because we are fair, okay? Mm.
Yeah. Basically, the way this works is that in the off season, I keep track of all the news stuff that's happening. And when it feels like, oh, we got to clear this plate somehow. And I'm like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, sometimes there's teams out there that we don't like, and so we take digs at them.
I see what you did there. We are definitely going to get into that conversation.
Yeah.
Before we do, though, I want to share something with everyone. Okay. Having just recently completed another trip around the sun.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I recently discovered a legitimate, like, sports life hack.
Okay.
That I want to share with everyone.
Go for it.
And I'm talking about a real life hack, not one of these dumb internet life hack, like these things you see on the internet where it's like, oh, cut a plastic bottle in half and then take a rubber band and some chopsticks or that lady who does, what's that lady always say? That, oh, everybody's so creative.
Everybody's so creative.
Yeah, her. Yeah, no, this was legit. Okay, so I think I expressed on the last episode how I've been trying to get a little more into Swedish hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't really picked a team yet. But given the fact that
Luleå, man.
Yeah, well, they got knocked out of the playoffs. I can still fuck with them, but I'm like, who am I going to keep rooting for as this thing keeps going? And I decided that Mora Hockey, which is in Dalarna, having recently knocked out Aikoa in the Allsvenska playoffs, is now moving on to play Djurgården. Now, as a Hammarby fan, this is sort of a natural fit for me, right? Mm. So what's the old saying? The enemy of my enemies is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So given that it's Easter break, I start to take a look. I'm like, you know what? This shit's in the playoffs. Like, I should try to go see this thing live. I want to go get I want to see if I can get some tickets to go see this game. I go to try to get tickets for the Djurgården Mora hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the majority of the arena is completely sold out.
Really?
Because it's mostly Djurgården fans.
Okay.
However, they had a tab in the area where you can select your tickets, where you could select the away team.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a special little section just for the away team. And not only do they have a special little section for the away team, you had two choices. You could buy an actual seat for like 250 crowns. Or you could choose to, like, pick one of those standing room only.
Yeah. What, 50 spots? Crowns?
90 crowns. 99
crowns. Wow.
99 crowns for a standing room only seat. I get there. I went there with Isak and Joanna. And we get there, and it turns out there's no standing room only. It's just a section where there's seats.
So you pay 100 crowns and sit like you pay 250.
So for those of you in America, this is like baseball ticket prices. This is like $10 mm-hmm. to go to a fucking playoff hockey game where the level of intent, all credit to the UGordon fans. I mean, the hype, the mood, the vibe, it's just like being in a football match. You know what I mean?
Woo! Like it don't get no better than like that, baby.
It's turned up. You know what I mean? That shit is turned up. And respect to the Mora fans, even though they're only like, you know, they're there in the hundreds instead of the thousands. Mm-hmm. And they never stop singing the whole time. I even had some lady sitting next to me. She was like, "Here, we brought extra flags. Do you want to wave one?" And I was like, "Yeah, fuck, let's wave one." And so we were like trying to. We don't know the chants. So luckily, they're usually not very difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. The atmosphere was fucking great. We saw a playoff hockey game for $10
a pop. I couldn't believe it. Down.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was some good shit.
That's dope, man.
It was fun.
I got one thing I want to add is that my friend Amat, whom you know, he makes music for all of our stuff for our podcast.
Yep.
That we have. Mm-hmm. And he made one because we're going to be doing an election special, which I'd like to have you on at some time. But nice. He made one beat out of the Hail to the Chief presidential song.
Oh, nice.
I thought you would like it. It's a quick thing. It's like the president's coming out.
Let's go. Yo.
That's our intro for our presidential episode.
They should probably switch that up, bro.
Yeah, man. It's pretty dope,
that's,
right?
That's pretty good. Wow. Yeah. Well done, Amat.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Yeah. Speaking of guys who probably thinks he should be president of the United States, let's talk about the Stefon Diggs trade. Big time move.
Who's happier than me?
Yeah, I know. And this is going to be fun to talk about because let's talk about the particulars first. Bills trade Stefon Diggs to the Houston Texans, right? Mm. Buffalo receives a 2025 second round pick. Houston receives Stefon Diggs, of course, as well as a 2024 sixth-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick. By trading Diggs before June 1st, the Bills are going to have to eat a $31 million dead cap charge this year.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Diggs is signed through 2027, but very shortly after this trade took place, it was reported that the Texans essentially wiped off the last 3 years of his deal and said, we'll make it a one-year deal, which means you can hit free agency. You want to stay? You want to stay with us? You know, if it goes well, you stay, we pay you. If it doesn't go well, then they let him go, or if it does go, or he can, you know, he can sort of test the market in free agency if he wants to. Most people are, I mean, I kind of have to agree. Most people are saying that Buffalo got just absolutely, you know, raped on this one.
I'm here to double down. That shit is a two-pack of ass.
Yeah, and before you get into the fool, I know you want to talk about the fool's gold narrative. Now, as a way to set this up, I thought this was quite funny, and maybe you saw this, maybe you didn't, I'm not sure. But literally a day before this trade goes down, there's a guy on Twitter who calls himself Peaky Pirate, right? He throws out into the Twitterverse this nugget. He says, quote, "Does Josh Allen benefit from having a top-tier receiver? Yes. Is it essential to his success? No. Out of nowhere..." Even though this Peaky Pirate dude, he's not some insider. This guy's like 200-300 followers. Stefon Diggs replies to this guy out of nowhere with the comment, "You sure?"
Ooh! Shots fired! That's my type of stuff right there. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I mean... What I don't know. What's your take on Josh Allen with no elite?
I'll give it
Hill and Matt Collins, I think they have on their roster.
If he's a, I'll tell you one thing, if he's a top five quarterback after this, with that receiver core, he'll shut everybody up, all the doubters, including myself. Sure. However, I do not believe that's the case.
Right.
This is the Stephon Diggs that got Kirk Cousins paid.
Right.
Of the first fully guaranteed contract ever. And then he left, and then he went to Buffalo, and Josh Allen all of a sudden became great after Diggs got there. And over his time there, most targeted of all wide receivers in NFL from any quarterback.
Mm.
So obviously they leaned on him, and we're going to see what Josh Allen's all about, who also had tied for the most turnovers all season last year.
Right.
With the frustrated Stephon Diggs, a lot of games on the sidelines. Just saying, I feel good.
I know you feel good. For Buffalo's fans, this is going to be a tough pill to swallow because the situation is really like, you know, the last 4 years of their success since Diggs came over, you know, they've made a lot of investments in a lot of different places. And this year was the year that the bill came due. And their roster has been gutted in free agency this year. like I said, you know, they're sitting here looking at Josh Allen throwing the ball to Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins, Justin Shorter, who I've never even heard of. And then they lost a ton of players on defense as well. I think they could be in quite a bit of trouble, unless they just get lucky in the draft, of course. The Houston Texans, on the other hand, are now like, you know, this is the team that nobody expected to be as good as they were last year. Not only did they win the division in the AFC South, they go and win a playoff game with a rookie quarterback. And now they're going to come back next year with Nico Collins and Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs,
man,
Joe Mixon. And then they picked up a ton of guys on defense as well. Daniil Hunter, they got from Minnesota. And then a bunch of other, you know, role player type guys.
And CJ Stroud.
And they still have CJ Stroud. And did I mention Joe Mixon too? Joe Mixon is going to be the running back.
Yeah, you mentioned him.
How about these Texans just kind of turning their shit around so quick? It's kind of impressive.
Really quick. Really quick. I think the Bills could learn from Chris Greer over in Miami and how to rearrange your shit so that you don't end up holding an empty bag at the end of the
And I would also be really worried about their offensive coordinator situation, because I was listening to some stuff earlier today where they were talking about how, you know, this past season when the Bills were statistically putting up numbers, but they were only 5-5 to start the season, they fire their offensive coordinator. And the new guy they bring in, all of a sudden Stephon Diggs is like an afterthought. People are posting all of these, you know, things, the splits between what Diggs' numbers were before the offensive coordinator got fired, where he's doing great. He's putting up an average of like 80 to 90 yards per game. And then after they fire the coordinator and they bring in the new guy, he's averaging like 50 to 60 yards a game.
Ooh.
So, you know, as much as wide receivers, we like to make fun of them. We say they're divas and they like to complain about how they don't get targets. In this case, he might have been right. So, he's going to have to share targets in Houston. But something tells me that winning football games will like kind of help him to not complain so much. You know what I mean? Because that team could certainly rip through the AFC South. Yeah.
That Trevor Lawrence, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's put up a shut up time for him.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And we don't know what Anthony Richardson is because he started four games last year. He finished two of them. right?
I think I know what he is.
yeah, he's a former Florida Gator. That's exactly what he is.
I think he it rhymes with must.
Dust?
No.
Lust?
No.
Bust. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
So
Stephon Diggs is gone.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I got a question for you. How is Stephon Diggs going to Houston Kyle Shanahan's fault?
Well, it's probably because Kyle Shanahan is not smart enough to realize, like, he's the guy who should be in the market for Stephon Diggs. Like, you bring Stephon Diggs, put him in a 49ers jersey, it's over.
Yeah.
Right? And he figures he's got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Got to get out of Buffalo. Definitely got to get out of Western New York. That motherfucker's probably tired of playing in the snow. I don't know if he called Kyle Shanahan, but, you know, he probably did. He probably called him, and Kyle was like, nah, we're good. You know. Meanwhile, Kyle Shanahan is in the midst of potentially losing Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh.
The contract negotiations are not going well there.
Wow, Kyle Shanahan could be really messing things up.
Yeah.
First you don't get Diggs, and then you lose Ayuk. And you don't have a defensive coordinator? Or did they might have hired somebody.
Oh, I think they got somebody. Well, he'll get fired too, though, right?
It depends if they lose the Super Bowl.
Got to blame somebody. Can't be Kyle Shanahan's fault.
It's not.
Let's see. Well, speaking of defense, that's sort of the next on the list. We haven't spoken about cornerback L'Jarius Sneed, traded from the Chiefs to the Tennessee Titans.
He had a huge year last year.
2024 seventh round pick and a 2025 third round pick.
That's interesting, right? You think they were trying to make room on their salary and the salary cap to bring over their new quarterback?
Who do you? Oh, you mean you're talking about the Chiefs to bring over Carson Wentz?
Yep.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it.
Sneed was balling. Huge plays, ballin'. All playoffs.
Sneed was balling, but I think that I think the Chiefs, they definitely have some cap issues that they have to work with. So that probably has a lot to do with it. Also, I think they're doing that thing that the Patriots do or did, you know, where it's like, you know what? We believe in this defense as a unit. We believe in this defense because it's the star of the show is Steve Spagnuolo, right? Yeah. And we've been drafting these guys pretty good for the last they built this defense primarily through the draft in the last two or three years.
Yeah, but didn't you say it was a seventh round pick? Like, geez.
Yeah, and a third round pick next year. And also, well, the money, obviously, the Titans had to turn around and sign Sneed on a 4-year, $76 million contract extension almost immediately. So there's your reason why they basically, the Chiefs were like, we don't want to pay for that.
They're turning into the Patriots, man. They're a dynasty, and then they're not about to be shelling out a lot of money, except for on Mahomes.
Because they are, I mean, they gave Mahomes that huge deal, and they have already, at least on two occasions, maybe a third time, they have already restructured his deal more than once. And anytime
he did it for the league. He did it to help the league, right?
Yeah, but the thing is that he still owed that money at some point. You know what I mean? It's like, so every time you restructure a deal, you're kicking the can down the road that shit's gonna bite you in the ass later. So I just
really want guys to get what they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Speaking of the Chiefs, this is kind of a fascinating story. They signed a 22-year-old Welsh rugby star named Luis Rez Zamet. They signed him to play running back / wide receiver. I've seen this guy's tape. He's pretty good. He's good at rugby. And we've seen this before. We've seen Jordan Mailata, obviously, for the Eagles, is probably the most well-known former rugby player to make it in the NFL. But he came in as an offensive lineman. I don't know if there's ever been a rugby player come in to play like a skill position like this before.
Wasn't there like a punt returner or something like that?
Yeah, or maybe.
Buffalo?
Maybe.
Pretty maybe. Sure.
Obviously, you don't know if it's going to translate, but I mean, you should Google this guy and check him out. He's pretty amazing. And also, apparently his father played American football, which is where he got his love for the game. And he calls it a dream come true for him and his father.
Good for you, Luis.
Shout out to dads, still mattering. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I right?
You're right.
When we get to the rule changes where we talk about the kickoff thing, that's where I can really see this guy maybe playing a big part. But very interesting. Moving right along, Panthers signed Jadeveon Clowney to a 2-year deal worth up to $24 million.
This guy
just keeps moving around on like 1-2 year deals.
Off of one hit, man.
Huh? It's a bit of a homecoming for Clowney. He's from nearby Rock Hill, North Carolina. He's a former South Carolina Gamecock. So fuck that guy.
Yeah.
What else we got? Hassan Reddick traded.
Yeah.
To the Jets from the Eagles.
What is happening to the Eagles, man?
I think the Eagles are in trouble, maybe, potentially.
I feel like they don't have they're not back in Sirianni anymore, it feels like.
Yeah, I feel like
leaving them out to dry.
The two teams that appear to be suffering the most through the Mahomes era, I would say the Bills would be the number one team, but not for Patrick Mahomes. I think Josh Allen might have already gotten himself a Super Bowl, but that window feels like it's shut. And I think the Eagles are kind of in second place for that.
They got a Super Bowl not too long ago.
Yeah, I don't trust me. I don't shed a tear for the Eagles. But this is a big pickup for the Jets, obviously. Their defense was already good.
Yes.
They still need to start at some point. They need to address.
They have Quinnen Williams and Hassan Reddick on the line.
I know. They need to address their offensive line so that their starting quarterback can play more than 4 snaps in a whole season. So that would be good. But Eagles, what they get in return? Conditional 2026 draft pick.
Wow.
The Jets
trying to clear the books.
I mean, the Jets have been pretty active in free agency. They got some major upgrades. They got Mike Williams, Teron Smith at left tackle. So that's a little offensive line help there. They got Morgan Moses on the right side there on defense. They got Reddick, Javon Kinlaw, who they nicked from the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan's fault, obviously. and then, of course, the best news is that Aaron has decided not to run for vice president. So,
Aaron!
You know, my
where
question
are you?
Is, given that the Jets are in your division, are you concerned?
No.
No.
I think the Jets would be second in the division, though. I think you could go ahead and book Miami to win a division.
It feels like that.
And Jets come in second, and then Bills come in third, and Patriots in fourth. Mm. If the Jets don't come in second or first, it might be it for Robert Saleh.
Yeah, especially, what is he? Is this his fourth?
Yeah.
Fourth year? They got to make the playoffs. It's either his fourth or his fifth year this year. I can't remember. But
yeah, I think it's his fourth year.
He's definitely on my hot seat list.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to go through that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of hot, we mentioned it already. Carson Wentz signs a one-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs to back up Patrick Mahomes.
Who was that? Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz, baby. Now, I buried the lead on purpose here. Wentz is leaving the Rams in part because my man, former Bulldog Stetson Bennett, is back in the building, baby. Okay? Quarterback, back-to-back national championships. Had a bit of a meltdown.
Stop it, man. Stop it.
Had a bit of a meltdown, right? Got arrested. And then left the team mysteriously for personal reasons. But now he's back playing, practicing, backing up my other Bulldog, Matthew Stafford. So we'll see what happens there.
You know who else is back? Nathaniel Hackett is back.
Mm.
Even though last year was a disaster without his beloved Aaron Rodgers, the offense still looked trash and inept. And they brought him back.
I know. If the Jets don't make the playoffs this year, I think it's going to be an absolute bloodbath in the building. Yeah. Yeah. The whole staff is going to get murdered.
They're going to be firing GMs, janitors.
They might not even – I mean, that, to me, that's like a – they Fish. Feel like top of the list for potential in-season coach fired list.
Mm.
Like if Jeez. It doesn't – like if it doesn't go well, you know what I mean? I mean, if they're competitive, then yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got a little sad news this week. Former Dolphins, Colts, and Bills Pro Bowl cornerback Vontae Davis.
Yeah, I saw that.
Found dead at the age of 35.
Yeah.
Still some unanswered questions. He apparently collapsed after getting out of a sauna in his home. This, according to his brother, legendary tight end Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vontae Davis had a respectable career, but he's probably most remembered for retiring at halftime of a game while playing with the Bills versus the Chargers back in 2018. It's always a little
and on Hard Knocks.
Yep.
When they had Dolphins Hard Knocks and he got traded.
Mm.
And we had to watch his... Like, he asked them, who'd you trade me for?
Oh, I didn't see that.
And he was like, they were like, picks. And he's like, what? Oh, man. Jeff Ireland, man. Glad he's gone.
Rashee Rice, receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, is in a bit of hot water after what appears to be a high-speed car crash because he was racing in a Lamborghini on the highway in the middle of the day with one of his buddies who was driving a Corvette. I mean, honestly, has this fool not heard of Henry Ruggs? What the hell are we doing? I mean,
young and dumb. Young and dumb.
He
I got no patience for this type of stuff.
It's so crazy. He has accepted that he had a role in the crash and has apologized.
Fuck that guy.
Even though he didn't really specify what his role was in the crash. But obviously there's still a lot to learn here, and there's definitely going to be a suspension involved because after the crash, Rice and his boys just bounced.
Left,
bailed, which is a felony, if I'm not mistaken, when there are injuries involved, which there were. I mean, not too bad as I understand it, but still.
You just don't leave the scene, man.
Yeah, he lawyered up pretty quick.
They might have had drugs on them or in them, in their system. Then leaving is smart.
True. Yeah. He lawyered up pretty quick, currently communicating with the Dallas police, which is where the accident took place. There's a video of a video of most of the accident, thanks to some dude with a camera in his car, as well as bystanders filming on the side of the road as Rice and his crew split the scene. You could probably find it on TMZ if you're interested.
It was the best route he ran all season.
I don't know.
To get out of here.
Crazy motherfuckers.
It's the first time he got separation.
Yeah, that brings
this thing on.
Yeah, that was a great joke. But yeah, but the problem is that he was actually good this year. So that joke doesn't work.
I know.
If we were talking about Jerry Jeudy, then it's like, yeah.
Whoa, not shots fired on Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm. He's just a guy. Let's see. Shout out to Steve Smith. Oh my God.
Just a guy.
Yeah, we got rule changes, you guys.
Oh yeah, rule changes.
Let's start with the most annoying one. In my opinion, this proposal to penalize what they have now defined as the hip drop swivel tackle has been approved.
They went another through, penalty that leaves open to interpretation. Just what we need.
Exactly. And I have the language here. I mean, this is going to be an absolute nightmare. Okay, first, the way this works, the defensive player grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms, right? That's the first thing that needs to happen.
Okay.
Second, the defensive player unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body. Try to figure that out. Third, the defensive player lands on and traps the runner's legs at or below the knee.
It's like something you cannot plan to do. It's like it's not intentional.
Well, also, like, you know, I posted this on our Facebook page, you know, This legendary play in the Super Bowl, where the Rams defensive player makes this game saving tackle at the goal line against the Titans. What was that? 1999.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That in today's NFL, that'd be a penalty.
Yeah.
You know.
What a Super Bowl.
In real time, this feels like a disaster of inconsistency waiting to happen. This is the same problem we have with roughing the passer, intentional grounding, which I'll get to in a minute because there's news about that too. Because,
thank God.
But it's just anytime they come up, I understand the thing is that it's hard because it's like I know why they're doing it. The intention is good, you know. but I just don't have any faith in the referees to call this on any kind of consistent level whatsoever.
Nah, me neither.
And I think it's – and it also, like, just, you know, on a very basic football level, like, okay, the defenders are like, we can't – we, you know, when we tackle a quarterback, we can't land on top of him. You can't do the horse collar.
No face mask. You know, can't touch the helmet.
You can't even touch – forget about the face mask. You can't even touch the helmet, right? Yeah. And at some – And especially in this situation, we're talking about hip drop tackle normally happens when you're tackling somebody from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly how are you supposed to tackle somebody from behind at this point? Because by you, you can't grab them. If you grab them by the shoulder, I don't know if you can still grab them by the shoulder pads.
You can. You can't grab them between the shoulder pads.
You just can't grab the horse collar.
Yeah, between the shoulder pads or the ear hole.
So I guess you just got to go for the ankles. I don't know.
Until 2027. Then ankle tackles would be banned.
I just don't understand. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird.
I don't make the rules around here.
So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
No, neither am I.
Let's see the next one. In the words of Lizzo, is Lizzo canceled? Are we still? Nah. Is she good?
She good.
People still mad at her? Well, one of my favorite Lizzo songs, It's About Damn Time. The NFL has voted to allow the replay assistant to fix mistakes on roughing the passer and intentional grounding calls.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Now, so... this, in a way, kind of forces us to swing back to the hip drop conversation a little bit, right? Roughing the passer and intentional grounding, two penalties that have been wildly inconsistent despite what the NFL initially claimed to be clear as glass, right? There's no confusion here.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. Now,
just like this is as clear as what a catch is.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently it was so clear that it is now a requirement that you need a third eye in the sky to make sure that they improve consistency. This is an admission that they have already fucked things up with regard to these two penalties. And what universe do we imagine that they won't have the same problem with a hip drop tackle? Right.
But they still have to like benefit of the doubt and all of that.
No, but I'm just saying that the hip drop tackle is going to wind up on this list. It's going to wind up on this fucking list of like, oh, I guess we need the guy. Like, okay, so we see he's got his arms around, but is he unweighting himself? Is he swiveling? Like, all of this.
How long before players are flopping, man?
That, too. A lot of defensive players are bringing that up. Or not even flopping, but I think one of the things that will probably influence those hip drop tackle calls the most is if a player appears to have been injured.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know what I mean? They hit the ground, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my ankle or oh, my knee.
Yeah, they stay down, yeah.
That shit's going to happen. I'm annoyed.
Me what are you going to do?
You catch your nigga off guard with this shit.
Okay, let's get to the kickoff.
Yes.
We have new changes to the NFL kickoff. It's going to look pretty weird at first. Let's see if I can explain this. The kicking team will still kick the ball from the 35-yard line.
Okay.
Okay, from their own 35-yard line. But the players on the kicking team will line up on the opponent's 40-yard line. 40-yard line. Those players cannot move.
Until he catches the ball.
Until the receiving player catches the ball. Now, the receiving team, they have to line up a minimum of 9 players in what they're calling the setup zone, which is between the 30 and 35-yard line.
Okay.
Okay. They can have a maximum of 2 returners lined up in what they're calling now the landing zone. Okay. Any kick that hits the landing zone, which is essentially from, I guess, the 30-yard line to the goal line, must be returned.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is good.
It's no more fair catch.
I like this.
Any kick that bounces into the end zone from the landing zone must either be returned or you can down it like a touchback.
To get to the 20, yeah, okay.
And then you get to the 20-yard line. Any kick that is short of the landing zone or any kick that goes out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. 35, 40?
The receiving team will get that ball at the 40-yard line.
Okay.
Any kick that hits the end zone and is down is a touchback. Like if it goes straight into the end zone, you mm-hmm. can do a touchback and the ball goes to the 30-yard line. So for the kickers, like there's a lot of incentive to hit the landing zone. There's no more of this like
landing zone.
Yeah, you're not kicking that shit out of the back of the end zone anymore.
I like it.
And it's going to be interesting because obviously, so now because you have the kicking team is on the 40-yard line and the receiving team has their people lined up on the 30 or 35-yard line. This obviously will reduce concussion injuries because you don't have these high impact plays from guys who are running halfway down the field and smashing into each other. And also it's going to create like, we're going to see which teams have the truly, truly creative special mm-hmm. teams coordinators, the ones who can master this new, this new world, please give me a fucking he's going to fuck that up. But it's kind of, I'm here for it because I don't, these people, there's a lot of people who are like, fuck it, get kickers out of the game. I don't think we need to be taking anyone who
no feet.
We
don't need, don't take any feet away from football.
We don't need to take any feet related plays out of football. Yeah. Right. And already you're seeing teams respond to this. Like after the new kickoff rules were announced, the Steelers, basically just immediately signed Cordarrell Patterson.
Wow.
who was a free agent. They were like, oh, dope. Cordarrell over here.
Yep, man. Yep.
I think it's going to be fascinating, and I think it's going to be, I mean, the kickoff, let's face it. The kickoff in the NFL has...
It's going to be fun.
Has become
I haven't
boring.
Been as excited about a rule change as I am about this one.
In the last several years, the kickoff has been so boring and so stupid, and now it's going to be fun.
Any change to punts? Same?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I want to say that if I were... a coordinator, I'd probably sprinkle in some linemen every now and then.
To where?
On the, like receiving team.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If I'm going to run to the left, I maybe make a lineman one of the people in the landing zone.
So.
And like a lead blocker.
100%. And this is what some people are starting to say that, what you're going to see evolve out of this new rule is that kickoffs are
it's
going
like
to start to look like run plays.
Yeah.
Where you have legit.
So it's
going to
look like rugby.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Which is why this Chiefs guy is going to be kind of interesting to see if he can fucking go bananas. But you're going to see those linemen are going to be so close together, you can start to scheme up blocks and
zone blocking.
Zone blocking.
Yep.
And then, you know, you create a hole and then all of a sudden motherfucker runs through it
and
takes it to the house. Because I've seen it. I said, you know, obviously this is how the
can the kicking team line up further back than 5 yards? Do they have to be 5 yards?
The kicking team has to be on the 40.
Okay.
The receiving team can be anywhere between the 35 and the 30.
This is fucking great, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this develop. I want to take a bet on the first team to score. I got to look at them rosters, man. First team to score kickoff return.
I've seen...
Watch it be the 49ers, man.
I've seen...
Might be my Dolphins.
I've seen some highlights of how this plays out in the XFL when they were using it there. And it's pretty fast. It does not automatically, like you would think, like, oh, there's going to be like a million touchdowns from the kickoff. Mm-mm. It's not really the case. But when it happens, like, mm-hmm. if somebody misses their blocking assignment.
Or somebody, yeah.
Because once you make it through.
Yeah. The second level, yeah.
It's nothing but grass and the kicker. It's nothing but grass and the kicker. And we know how that usually ends.
Yeah, it usually ends with Phillip Rivers on his back.
Yeah.
Turtle tackles.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fun, I think. I'm looking forward to it. Let's see. We got a little bit of broadcast news. The NFL owners have approved some rather drastic changes to Hard Knocks.
Okay.
The in-season version of Hard Knocks,
mm-hmm.
which I guess nobody watches.
What?
I guess maybe some people watch it.
It was good last year. They picked the Dolphins last year.
So the in-season Hard Knocks will now follow all four teams from a single division.
Wow. That is great.
That's good.
That is great. Oh, my God. The owners came up with that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to rotate?
What do you mean?
Like NFC East this year? Next year's going to be NFC. That'd be great if you just.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to choose. I don't know how they're going to choose, but yeah. Yeah.
Built-in storylines, this is going to be great.
It's going to be good. And they've also made some changes to preseason Hard Knocks.
Okay.
The NFL has had some trouble finding a team to volunteer over the past few years.
Uh-oh.
So the NFL did what it always does when the slaves act up. They changed the rules. They changed the rules to suit their interests so that fewer teams could say no, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Under the new rules, a team does not have to be on the show if, one, they have a first-year head coach in place.
Okay.
Two, they're participating on the in-season Hard Knocks of that season.
That makes sense.
Right? And three, they have appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 8 years. The old rule was 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Under the old rules, a team could turn down Hard Knocks if they had made the playoffs at any point over the last two seasons, but that rule has been tossed out.
Oh, wow.
This was the main one that prevented a lot of teams from being eligible.
Yeah, but you kind of want to see a team that was in the play. You know what's a good one to see is a team who's running it back after a tough loss in the playoffs.
Hmm.
That's a good Hard Knocks. Like Buffalo or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We still don't have the schedule yet, but we do have an announcement that in 2024, despite the fact that Christmas is on Wednesday, the NFL has decided to run a doubleheader. this will be the first Wednesday doubleheader in 88 years, it said in the news. I personally don't mind football on Christmas if it lands on or around Sunday, but this Wednesday bullshit just feels a little crazy.
You are not serious people.
That's fucked up. They don't care about these players. Is it a bye week after? You get a bye week?
It's such a weird.
Feels like you need a bye week before and after. This is some bullshit.
Yeah.
They added a week of the season and didn't add a second bye week. This is when a second bye week would be good.
I think they also said that the teams that will play, they haven't announced it yet, but they said the teams that will play on this Wednesday Christmas will be teams that played on the previous Saturday. Like the week before, these are the teams that played on a Saturday instead of a Sunday. Because you know how they always sneak in that Saturday game after the college football season is over?
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously sucks for the teams that have to travel to play these games.
Yeah.
It also sucks that the union that supports them can't stop this. It's so strange. It's like, it's very, very odd.
The union said,
"We do not care."
No, they don't.
It's live answer from the union.
Deion Sanders has got himself in the news, suggesting that he intends to circumnavigate the NFL draft process in an effort to get his son, quarterback Shedeur Sanders, as well as his star corner / receiver, Travis Hunter. He says he's going to get these guys drafted to a team of their choosing.
What?
These guys haven't even, they're not going up for the draft until next year, but he's already saying he's going to Eli Manning
this Travis shit. Hunter got hip drop tackled.
Yeah, he did.
Changed the game.
I think it's interesting. This would be an interesting story to watch.
Why would you say that? Like, just do it.
I think he's just already warning people, like, we're doing this shit. Like, fuck you.
Hmm. His prerogative.
Yeah.
Nice.
And last but not least, you're not going to believe this.
Okay.
But I have a DeAndre Baker update.
Nuh-uh.
I do.
What you got?
It's not that juicy. It's just that my man, former Bulldog, former first-round pick, whose career fell apart due to not playing very well, as well as a much best event on this podcast involving a backyard barbecue / Madden betting battle that turned into a straight-up robbery. He proved to be a victim of extortion, to be clear. I'm happy to report that his football career is not over just yet.
Okay, DeAndre.
Because DeAndre Baker is now a member of the UFL DC Defenders.
Oh, that's my squad right there. That was Houston, huh?
I could not believe it when his name popped up. I was so excited. It's been so long.
And is that your team now?
All of you, yeah, it might be. I don't know. All of you original
doubters,
all you original listeners who have been with us from the beginning, you know the DeAndre Baker saga that kept this show entertaining in its infancy.
Yeah, COVID.
I just couldn't let this one slip by.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy for my guy. I mean, he's got that dog in him. That we already know. So
we need that on the soundboard. I got to keep you away from the soundboard in that case.
But yeah, that is essentially it. Next week, I am off to the U.S. of A.
Oh, nice.
The
U.S. of A?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm just going to be sort of flying through the A.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going down to the B, Brunswick, Georgia. I'll be in the B.
Peace up. B-town down.
B-town down. When I get back, I'll be, you know, recharged, locked and loaded, ready for some NFL draft talk.
Yeah.
I'm actually flying into Jacksonville to get.
Make sure to send me your mock draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to work on it on the plane.
All right.
Speaking of which, I feel like I need to buy some. What do you do when you get on a plane? Do you drink or do you take pills or what do you do?
Depends. If I'm with the kids, I don't do anything. But on a flight, if it's a long flight, I'll probably have a beer. I never got shit face on a flight.
I feel like I want to get some.
I don't have any issue with flying. I don't know.
I don't have an issue with flying either. My only problem is that I can't sleep on a plane, no matter how tired I am.
Oh, I cannot not sleep on a plane.
Mm.
So I got an opposite issue.
I think I might get some fucking.
Yeah, get some NyQuil, man.
Some kind of.
I got NyQuil.
Something will knock me out.
Some meta, what do you call it? Metamucil? Not Metamucil. What do they call it? Melatonin.
Oh yeah.
That's what my mom takes when she takes when she flies.
Mm. I'm gonna write that down. If it's good enough for Mama Rollins.
Yeah. Me personally, I just shoot up heroin in the bathroom.
Mm. You want to make sure that shit works.
People, like, he's just nodding off.
I want some certainty up in my shit.
All right, man. Well, it's been another episode of SpinFL. We appreciate y'all more than you know. And you can stay tuned, man. We're going to be doing this sparingly but effectively as we do in the offseason. I want to give a shout out to those Bills fans out there. That's all I got to say, man. This has been Jonathan Rollins.
Give me Sarah.
What's SpinFL? Peace.
Later, y'all.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.